Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community.
My real name is Bobak, and the last name, what you said, I don't even know what that is. That is Bobak Khosravipur. That means Bobak, it means Baba, and K, it means great father, which I am. Don't ask my kids. But Khosravipur, that means the descendant of king, which we are. So take that. But my dad always called me as a kid Bobby, and so when I came here, I was very acclimated to just call me Bobby. I will answer to that in many other names. Thank you for inviting us here, showing up. There's not much stuff you can do right now because it's not football season yet. But Steve mentioned about Islam. When you are looking, since 9/11, the whole history of United States in the Western culture has changed drastically, and not for better. So in order to understand why the things happened and why they did what they did, you need to know the background. You need to know the history and what is motivating the people that they are coming from the higher family echelon to do such a drastic measure to not only kill themselves and kill a lot of other people for cause of Allah. As Steve mentioned, I was born and raised in Iran, in the southwestern corner of Iran, the big city of Abadan, about 350,000 people. With the petrochemical companies and a lot of oil industry, very well-off people. They were making good money, good living. A lot of British and American influences. In my city of Abadan, we had the first international airport. So everything, the best of it was, first was in Abadan. And we had a saying when I was growing up, you have the whole Iran is Abadan and surrounding. So everybody wanted to be a part of my city, which they weren't. As far as the history goes, it started as the Prophet Muhammad, which he claimed that in 7th century, at 16 AD, that he was visited by an angel, that later on he said that it was Archangel Gabriel, that he brought him a lot of messages from God, from Allah, to relay that for them to be written. Since he did not know how to read and write, he was getting that information in the mountains, and he was relaying it to his father-in-law, Abu Bakr, to write it down. So different scribes were writing it down. Their holy book is Quran, and it is written by several people, most of them with Muhammad's father-in-law, Abu Bakr. And when you look at Islam, they are two sects. There are two major components in Islam. You have the Sunni in one side and the Shia, which we were a part of, and the best part, there was one side. In the division comes the way the Sunnis, they look at how the hierarchy goes, how the leadership goes. They believe that it has to be the leaders. The leaders decide and vote on who's going to be the next one in charge. But the Shia do believe, according to what Prophet Muhammad says, it needs to go from his blood relation. From Ali, Imam Ali was the first, and then his descendant. Now, when you look at the pillars that no matter what sect they are from, these are the common things that you're going to be looking at as the pillars of Islam. The first one is Shahada. A Muslim has to proclaim that. The faith that it has to do it in Arabic, because somehow their God doesn't speak other language. So you have to say it in Arabic. So you have to announce it and proclaim it in front of some other Muslims, and they have to respond to that. And you say by saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. That means there is no one but one God, and Muhammad is his prophet. And you have to say that, proclaim that in front of others, and you become, you become a part of the brotherhood or part of the Muslim family. The second pillar that you have to have is a salat, is a prayer. You do it 5 times a day, and you'll be facing Mecca, that black building covered, that you will be, no matter where you're at in the world, you'll be aiming and praying 5 times a day toward Mecca. The third pillar is zakat. That means giving alms and offerings that it is required of every Muslim. So no matter where you come from, what your status is, what your income, you're paying back to your own community. So as a businessman in Wichita, will be giving zakat, that giving alms a portion of your wealth or anything that you own back to your own community. That's your third. The fourth pillar is swam or fasting in the month of Ramadan. That is 29 days from sunup to sundown. You will be no drinking and no eating any food. And you will be doing a lot of prayers, a lot of spiritual training, the things that matters in just cleansing yourself and focusing on Allah. And the things, usually you have a lot of different ceremonies that the clergies that you go attend, and they will be explaining to you all the things that is need to be explained. And the fifth one is in your outline says Haji, which is not actually Haji, is Hajj. Haji is the person that it goes, has gone through that program, has gone through, but is the pilgrimage that they go once a year for any able body that once in your lifetime you need to go through that. And that when you go come back, and they call you Haji. Like my grandpa, my mom's side, we will call him Haji. That was his name. And the sixth one that, this is the fifth pillar, but the sixth one that you have heard, but they're not emphasized, but every Muslim would know about that, is the jihad. And the jihad, that means the struggle. And no matter what part of the Sunni or the Shia you come from, the philosophers, the Muslim philosophers, they believe that to be two interpretation of it. Some believe is internal struggles between good and evil. And the second one that we were part of, it is an actual time that for cause of Allah, you're going to bear arms and you will fight for cause of Allah. Now, when you look at it, when you're 9/11, why these people, they came and did that? It has a lot to do with jihad and how they perceive the salvation. In Islam. In Islam, you do not have the salvation. So you don't know if you're saved or not. It's the matter of a scale. They do believe in a judgment day that you will your good deeds in one side and the bad deeds in another. So which one would it be? So there is no guarantee. You don't know what is going to happen to you. In order to bypass this is martyrdom. And when you are in a cause for cause of Allah, you gave your own life for cause of Allah, you bypass this and you get a ticket to paradise or heaven. And that's what those people were doing. They were sacrificing their lives and anything else to for cause of Allah to bypass, go to heaven. So just think about the perspective, what they give out. And one of the things that, you know, you want to think about is the balancing, the good deeds compared to your bad deeds, all that. So just think about what kind of life you're going to have that you constantly have to be worried about if your good deeds are going to outdo your bad deeds, or how much this good deed is going to worth in the scale. So it is no peace involved in that. You're trying to accomplish, you're trying to gain favor of Allah, you're always trying to appease the imams and all the people, the clergies, like you're always seeking. So what would be the good way to gain favor of Allah? You know, you pray about if you grant me this wish, I pay this much alms. And it's always just a haggling process of it. And one of the things that I remember as a fifth grader, you know, about, I don't know if you have heard, that Prophet Muhammad has said that if somebody as a martyr, as a man, you be a martyr, you will go to heaven, you will have 70 virgins be attending you. I don't know why 70, that's what he says. But guess what? As a fifth grader, I wanted to ask my dad. I said, well, I've heard that that's the case, that Prophet Muhammad, you know, that he has said that. And he said, yeah, it is true. Prophet Muhammad has said that as a martyr, as a man, if you become a martyr, you go to heaven with the 70 virgins attending you. So my question was, what happened if you're a woman? Just think about it. If you're a woman, what would have happened? You become a martyr. So if you go to heaven, you're going to have 70 hunky guys coming, you know, attending you. So my dad said, it's an excellent question, son, but I don't know much about these things. Why don't you go ask your grandpa, Haji, my grandpa from my mom's side. So we had a big feast when I said, Haji, can I ask you, a spiritual thing? And he was very excited. He said, come. So, you know, and he's really cool. So I explained. He said, that's the question in my mind. How is it going to happen? If the girl becomes a martyr, what would it happen? And he was scratching his beard, and all of a sudden, whap, slapped me very hard, called my mom, said, come and get your kid. He's talking nonsense. So I'm crying, I'm walking toward my dad, and I'm saying, why did you send me to my grandpa to tell me that? And he said, son, I wanted to show you Islam doesn't make sense and what they are making up as they go. So that was one of my experiences that I will never forget. Now, when you look at it, the differences between Islam and Christianity, because, well, they are pretty big religions when you look at the world that you live in. The first question you want to ask is, who did Jesus is to Muslim? The Muslims, they do believe Jesus was a good man, was a prophet of God. But when Judas betrayed Jesus, God took Jesus to heaven, put a curse on Judas, so the Sanhedrin and the Jews came, arrested Judas. They put him on a cross, so he got crucified for betraying the prophet of God. So guess what? Judas is on cross. He paid for his punishment. There is no resurrection, no payment of sin. We don't have no Christianity without that. Just think about that. No Christ, so he didn't pay for our sins. Guess what? That's what they look at it. Second thing, it says why Islam is not part of a Christendom. But first of all, the perception of God, Allah, and God of Christian and God of Muslims, they are very, very different. In the God of Islam, to my experience, what I had, it was somebody in a higher up that with the stick ready, waiting for you to do a wrong thing and whap, to whap you. So there was no such a thing as a loving God. There was no pursuer. He is coming after me. I need to be appeasing him. So there was no personal relationship whatsoever. None of that. When you look at the names that they call for Allah, there are 99 names for them. Not one of them is love. But when you look at, compared to the Christian for the Bible, it's a for God so loved the world to gave his only begotten son. You see, everything that he does in Christ, you look at everything to do with love, which it don't have nothing to do in Islam, you know. So that's another one that you want to be thinking about. Now, how the most important part of it, even though they have all these ideas, all these pillars, they may or may not be abiding. They may not be a part of doing, be a practicing Muslim, what you say. But in Islam, there is no separation of church and state. So what you look at, so what they do, your heritage, your family, your tribal, your culture, your country that you're doing, everything goes together. So there is no separation. For me, because I was born in a Shia Muslim family, I am a Shia Muslim. If I were Armenian, I was Armenian or a Christian. So if you were a Baha'i, you become a Baha'i. If you're a Zoroastrian, you become a Zoroastrian. So there are a lot of things that you want to think about, the religion, their identity. They're all mixed together. There is no separation of that. Now, when I look back in my life, I have seen the seven steps or seven ways that my life has been changed, okay? They are things that you will see. I'm going to just line them out for you, and then I'm going to explain some of these things, you know, just a little bit more detail. The first one to take in, just for building the bridges, because God knows as church we have built enough walls. We need to make our amends, make our bridges. First one is your building relationship. Second one, you're showing love. Third one, you're providing a safe and welcoming environment. Fourth one, which is very, very, very important, is prayer. You know, that you're praying for the people that you're involved and get to know them. The fifth one, you're talking and sharing the love, the true love of God, what they have done, what is your personal experience, the things that God has done in your life. Sixth one, and you're bearing witness to the power of God. And the last one is you're just getting involved. The first thing is the relationship, building relationship. And it is not the easiest thing that you can do. You know, 4 weeks ago, we came and visited your church here. My wife is talking to some other ladies, and I'm standing over there. Several of you came and introduced yourself and welcomed me to your own congregation for the place of worship that I was my first time coming to see you guys. So you have made a connection. You have made an effort. Come in and reach out. Somebody that you have not seen, you do not know. Sure as heck don't look like you people. But that's a reality. Thank you, Jesus. But, you know, but you made the effort to do that. And I mentioned that to your pastor. That means a lot. For somebody, I have spent most of my adult life here, but it is still such a refreshing thing to see people of God actually acting like a people of God. You see what I'm saying? Without knowing, he didn't know we were going to come and visit, but you people made that possible. You welcomed us. And that's what it's all about. You have made that connection, made it start the relationship, and that's what you're developing from then on. You know, you just go one step after another. It's like when you ask, how do you eat the elephant? One bite at a time. And you have to start somewhere. So you just go nibble on it as you go along. That second, you know, you get to know the people in a more, you know, intimate level. At, you know, always when you're going to the different places, you know, as your work business, you're going to Sam's, Costco, anywhere you go, you see a lot of people that they coming from different background, different things. You just start with a smile. It's as simple as that. You just being welcoming to them. And showing love. Friend, when I came to this country, I was not a very loving person. This is not a lot different. You know, I was very hostile. I was a Shia, I was a practicing Shia Muslim that, according to my clergy, to the guy that was following, the Ayatollah Khomeini, some of the older people know who he was. He considered United States as a great Satan. And when my dad decided for me to come to go to school here, I couldn't even believe that my own father is sending me to great Satan. But I said, that's the way it is. And ahead of our clan, when he said something, it's a done deal. There's no question and answer, you know. He said, you go finish your education. After that, you can do what you want. But that's a different story. Anyway, and when you look at showing the love, and there is no mention of loving God in Quran when you look at it. And you see so much love that you see in the Christianity. It's just a simple thing. How do you, you know, show the unconditional love? When I started going out with my first wife, Becky, you know, their family, unbelievably kind, you know, not only for me, their son-in-law, my brother, my other Iranian friend, for any occasions they would gather for 4th of July, for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, for Easter, for anything that was happening, they were always welcoming me and my friends. So welcoming, they became our family for the making that relationship. And it goes exactly next to the next one, providing the third one is the safe and welcoming environment. So as a respect, so when they invited us to their church, obviously we would go as a love and respect. And in that church, everybody in that congregation was praying for our salvation, for my brother, for our friend Freddie, and myself. So these people, they became very, very, very intentional about their prayers. Intentional and very welcoming environment to come and for us to hear the word of living God. And it's just an amazing experience. The fourth one, as I mentioned, is the prayer, which it made a huge, huge difference. And you could tell how much as we would go in the services when they were doing at the end of service that they were start asking and for a time if anybody wants to make any decision for Christ or a prayer time. For that time, it became so intense for us that we would be grabbing on the pews because it was such a pull in our hearts to get out of where we were. You know, in their prayers, they were very, very effective. If the fifth one is to share the truth in love, it's as simple as that. You know, it's not being a philosophy, even though we had many time. We spent a lot of time talking to them, talking to Becky and her folks regarding the beliefs and all that. But to see that, to share that, what God has done in their lives, the changes, the things that matters, you know. And one of the things that I love, one of my favorite verses is 1 Peter 3:15. It's a But in your hearts, worship Christ. Always be prepared to give an answer. For everyone to ask you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do it in gentleness and respect. It's as simple as that. You're not trying to pour salt on the wound. You're not trying to belittle other people's beliefs. You're just telling them and sharing the love of God, what He has done and what the truth is. And when you look at number 6, is the bearing witness to the power of God. In Isaiah 55:11 says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I send it." So when God said that, that means it will not return void. God could not reach us in our homeland, thousands of miles away, but He orchestrated for us to come here to provide right in the middle of this nation, to see, to be around people that they show us love and respect, to connect it with us, to see what God is really all about. Not just saying it, living it. Were they perfect? No. But they were genuine. They were real, real genuine people that they wanted our best interests. They were connecting with us. They were trying to do the best they can. We became part of their family. So that is the connection. That's the relationship that you build upon. And because of all these things, when I saw that, when I saw the power of God, the miracle that changed my brothers, that he was a party animal, he changed his life. And the love that I saw, the things that I experienced 2 weeks after he accepted Christ, I went forward in our church and I asked our senior pastor, I want the same thing that happened to my brother. You see what I'm saying? 3 weeks after I accepted Christ, our other Iranian, Freddie, our roommate, accepted Christ. Because of these people's faithfulness, they were obedient, three families, me, my brother, and Freddie, three Iranian, they became a part of the family of God. You see what I'm saying? There were no, nothing special, but they became obedient. They were just step by step. They shared. They welcomed us. And that's the amazing thing that you want to do. And when you see that friend, you will never forget it. And you want the same amazing experience to see in God's power changing lives. The seventh one is to get involved. There are several ways that you can get involved. One of the biggest things that we are as a family, we are involved, is ISI, is the International Student Incorporation. That what they do as a missionaries, they are involved and they seek out in the colleges, which in Wichita we have an amazing group of them. They go, they connect with the international student, welcome them to their home, show them around, and they will have Bible study, they will have intentional friendship that you build upon. And it's amazing. We have a couple of missionaries from then, and also you have organizations and missionaries that they are out there. The guy that I saw the, transformation, my brother, now he's a missionary with his family in Turkey, ministering to Iranian refugees, that there are over 1 million of them over there. So you see the ripple effect, the connection when you do. These people, 2 years ago we went, visited them. And what they have done, these refugees, that they have escaped Iran because of the conviction that they had. Some of them, they were Muslims, they were just questioning the government, but some of our Christian brother and sisters, they were tortured mercilessly. They were beaten up. One of them was in jail for almost 11 years. They were beating him daily so bad. After they released him, he was a writer. He wrote a couple of books about, you know, about Islam. I said, which is, you're a walking dead man. And they, because of their good connections, very well-connected families that they had, they gave him a week to get out of Iran. Otherwise, he would be dead. There would be no more court. It would be, they will hang him because of, so they get out. So we saw firsthand what God is doing, how much he is moving around, and the things that is making it happen. So the little things that we do, you know, you're going to have people that you can get involved. You have foreign students that they come in, the college kids. You have simple things, you know, for who eats turkey for Thanksgiving? Anybody eat turkey Thanksgiving? You guys don't eat turkey on Thanksgiving? I don't think so. You're not vegetarian. I see that. But I'm just saying, but you can have one or two of these people here. Friend, my oldest daughter, as a college student in WSU, brought four Arabs and one Baha'i Iranian to our home for our family. I would have never invited those people to my home, but she brought them, so we accepted them, even though I didn't want to. And that's, but they are friends. They have become our extended family. They have come to our churches. They have joined us in Christmas, Thanksgiving. They have come to Easter programs to see that. So we broke bread together. So they know that they are welcomed in our home. And they have gone and said, well, they have heard the word of God, and we want to be obedient to be a part of this process. Just a little, you're planting a seed, and you, as a grow, you need to put it, you need to be, as a gardener, you need to be trimming, you need to be watering, you need to be taking the weeds out, to be specific, you to be intentional about what you're doing, to making a difference. And the word of it today is, friend, when you look at the media, they tell you a lot of things that nothing good out of it. But I can assure you, I can tell you, I have seen it, that God is still in control. God is still is seeking people. If they cannot be sending any material to Iran, God, Jesus is still showing in their dreams, which it is very, very, very important for a lot of Iranian and a lot of Eastern cultures. The dreams mean a lot. You can see it in the biblical references in Daniel. These are the things, if in Iran, if you have a vision and they have seen a lot of them, that Jesus is appearing to them and says, man, come and follow me. That is a done deal. It's a done deal. Nobody's going to question that. It's going to cost you everything, but guess what? They're willing to do that because he is good. So there are so many different things I can share. If you guys, because of the time, we can go to detail. If you have any questions after the program, after the service, I will be more than happy to share. I want to thank again Pastor Steve. I heard you preach 4 weeks ago. It was okay, you know, but I've heard better, but I told Steve, I've told Steve for where he is at, everything's good looking up, but, you know, no, seriously, I want to thank you guys. Thank you for your willingness to come to listen. And I have six friends that they all showed up, so thank you for the people. The most important thing I want, after all this, friend, you cannot share something that you don't have, and that's a personal relationship with Christ. You see what I'm saying? It's as simple as that. You can be a, you can be a church member all your life, but not knowing Christ. To know Christ, to know the power that the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, it's not a magical thing. It's something that you're gonna just pray that repent from. You acknowledge the wrongdoings that you have, the things that you have. You accept His free gift, and you're gonna return. You're gonna U-turn. You're gonna repent. You're gonna go walking toward God and to His power. And if there are a lot of things, friend, that in this country, in the Western culture, that we are bombarded with so many things. The more we spend time in a Word of Living God, the more we can hear Holy Spirit, the way He is guiding us in our daily walk. We want to be obedient to that. And I'm glad, I'm grateful that you guys have invited us to share what we had. Friend, we had in Islam, in my background, we had a lot of rules. We had even rules how to go to bathroom, which foot step forward. As God my witness, that's the truth. But I tell you, what I saw in my life that changed inside and out. I saw the miracle of transformation, my brother, that he was different. And only the power of God could have done that. You know? And that's something that when you see that, and it is such an amazing experience. Just imagine if you were a part of Paul going to Damascus, and all of a sudden you see something is happening, and the guy that was going to persecute and he was going to go capture all the Christians, all of a sudden he can't see anything. He's blind for 3 days. Now he becomes a believer. So to see that is a personal experience, is an amazing thing. And I'm grateful for God brought us here. I'm grateful for the people of God that they surrounded us, show us love when we weren't loving, man. I know better than that. We weren't loving, and they loved us regardless. And I'm grateful for that. Pastor Steve, it's your turn, sir. I'm done.
Everybody dance. Everybody.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.